Hello and welcome to Really Cool People, a podcast produced by Schweitzer Church. I'm your host, Jason Leininger. Today, we have a very different podcast in mind. This is in the middle of Christmas, the Christmas season. We followed after Christmas Day, and now it's before New Year's. Today in the studio, we have Taylor Likes. Taylor is often referenced as our executive producer and editor, but today, Taylor and I are going to have a conversation about sabbaticals, because this past year, Taylor and I were both gifted with the opportunity of a sabbatical. And Taylor's, to be true, you are a really cool person, Taylor Likes. he's really cool. And Taylor's been on staff at Schweitzer for 8 years. And
almost nine.
And he's done a lot of different things while he's been on staff. He oftentimes works in the backgrounds, does a bunch of things that support ministry. And so we thought it would be a unique opportunity to share about the sabbatical experience and share that as a recognition of a gift and also a reflection in terms of how that shaped him and what that might look like in the future for his own life and ministry. So welcome, Taylor, to this very special, unique podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with, what in the world is a sabbatical anyway?
Oh, I got to answer that
one?
I was hoping you were going to answer that one.
No, I'm going to let you answer that one.
Well, I mean, it's essentially a break. It's not the same as vacation, but it's more of a intentional time of rest. And I thought of it as separation from the normal, to do something different, to reset, to breathe a little bit. I don't know. I don't have a good definition. I can tell you like what my purpose was in my sabbatical.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What I wrote down in my proposal was to allow for personal and professional growth, spiritual renewal, and revitalization of vision, hope, and inspiration.
And I think, as I'm looking at that, a lot of that came from our employee handbook that we have.
Yes.
Yeah. So you and I both wrote proposals before we set out to go on our separate ways. As you think about what you envisioned in your proposal, how much of your experience matched that?
That's a good question. I think the big overarching plans, you know, like there were some trips and things like that. Those went down basically as expected. And then I'd say most of my goals were either at least were either achieved or at least worked on quite a bit, maybe not perfectly achieved, but there's a couple things that didn't go according to plan. I thought that I would do a lot of journaling, and I don't know why I thought that, because I've never been the kind of person who does a lot of journaling. So I think I did it maybe the first week, and then, oh, I'll do it the next day. And then I kept putting it off and never got around to it. So I still took notes when I needed to and things like that, but I didn't do intentional journaling like I had planned. But and then I also had planned on reading several books, and I read some of them, but I read one the very first week, and then I think I read three the very last 2 weeks or something like that. Because in the middle, I was like, I don't want to read a book right now, you know, so got pushed around. So the goal had been, I had picked books specifically to be like, okay, I'll read this book this month, this book, this, you know, and spread it out evenly, but that didn't go according to plan.
I think one of the things I found out about the proposal process was that it helped me set things in motion. It gave me a target. But then when I was in the midst of the experience itself, there was like, now there's time to improvise and still achieve many things, but the sense of improvisation. But it had a, you know, overall, there was this big target you were reaching for.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I think is really helpful about a sabbatical, is to write that proposal out beforehand.
Yeah. And I'm really thankful that you wrote yours first.
Yeah.
Because when I wrote mine, I was reading yours the whole time. Yeah. So I referenced a lot of your things. I did change the structure somewhat, but.
So let's talk about the structure. What are some things you wanted to achieve in the midst of your sabbatical to reach that sense of coming back where you'd be refreshed, you'd be revitalized in hope and vision?
I broke it down into three, what I called the three pillars of growth. So I had personal, professional, and spiritual growth. I had different goals within each pillar. Some of them kind of overlapped and things like that. So spiritual growth, my main objective there was to kind of get back into the habit with certain like spiritual disciplines, spending time in prayer and study. Also just the ability to attend a worship service that I'm not in any way responsible for and just worship and not have to work, you know, or even when I, sometimes when I'm not working, I still have a hard time because I'm still thinking about what's going on and like, how I would have done that differently or things like that. But during the sabbatical, I was able to at least better let go of that stuff and just experience it, you know, participate.
Do you want to reflect on why it's, you find it a benefit or it's personally renewing to like just go to a worship service instead of not being one where you have to think about things? What, just unpack that just a little bit more.
I'm the technical director here. So on a normal service, I'm concerned about every single slide or video that goes on the screen, all the lights in the room, and the sound, of course, and making sure that there are functioning microphones and that the instruments are balanced and everything like that. So, and I've been doing that, I mean, technically in some capacity since I was in high school, but especially, you know, since working here, it's not just like, a thing I do. It's like, that's my responsibility. That's what I'm paid to do. That's how I make a living. So I need to do it well. So it's very easy to be in worship and experience worship, but not really be mentally focusing on what's important. Well, I mean, it's still important, but different reasons it's important. So it's easy to leave a full day of, you know, multiple worship services and not have really worshiped anything at all. yeah. And like I said, even when I've gone to visit other churches or gone to conferences or things like that, I still find myself thinking about it. Like when it's not me, it's still thinking about like, oh, this is how I would have done it. I would have, you know, fixed that slide. I would have changed that audio cue or whatever. And that's partially because I'm thinking about, well, next Sunday I'll be back at my church where I need to, you know.
Right.
So with the sabbatical, I didn't have to worry about next Sunday, you know, so I could just be in the moment.
I think one of the things that a lot of folks imagine is that if you work in a church, if you're around worship, you can kind of live on a spiritual high, or you live in a unique, different spiritual plane. But I think what you're reflecting on there is something that is chained back through history. And you can even find it being reflected in the pages of the Old Testament, where people who have this role as a spiritual leader, contributor within that spiritual space of worship, oftentimes find themselves struggling with that dimension of like, there's a work aspect. And so your mind goes into certain particularities, and you can lose the aspect of worshiping yourself and of being taken up into worship. Isaiah has that own experience, which is why he's kind of so blown away when God shows up in the middle of the temple and speaks to him the way that he does. He was there to do some work. He wasn't expecting to have a divine encounter that day. it's one of the reasons, one of the things that needs to be revitalized through the act of a sabbatical. Where were some places that you could, what were some of the things that, the nitty-gritty things you did to revitalize your sense of spirituality?
So one thing I did was like I said, set more intentional time. Like in the mornings, I'm usually the first one to wake up in my house. So that gives me some alone time before, I need to wake up anyone else and get them ready for the day or help, you know, whatever. So that just having that time every morning to, like, I know it sounds like basic, like that's what you should do, but, I just often get too busy and don't, but having that intentional time every morning to spend in prayer and study and things like that, you know, that was really good.
Well, do you remember some of the things you read? Some of the things that
you picked up? Yeah. So I was kind of working through the Gospels mostly, and then the Psalms as well.
Uh-huh. I got infatuated with Ezekiel.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And many people know that my kids are really artistic. And so sometimes I see things within the pages of scripture in a very visual aspect. And I'm sure you do too, because of your, mm-hmm. But Ezekiel has got, I'm just suggesting it is fit for a film, but like it is just so incredibly visual. Everything from the spinning wheels of eyes to everything that goes on. And it's so gripping. It's just like, it is an artist. It's meant for a real artist, the way it's what's written.
Yeah.
So fascinating things. How is re-engaging those practices? How's that played out once you came back to work?
Well, right off the bat, coming back to work, I was thrown right into the deep end. So, some of those practices that had become very easy became not, I don't want to say a struggle, but became difficult again. Yeah. 'Cause just, you know, you gotta really make the time for those things. And, coming back in, especially those first few weeks, first month, was just very like a lot going on in my head and my time and things like that. It's not as easy as it was during my sabbatical, but, it's better than it has been at times before my sabbatical, mm-hmm. I'll say that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pillar one, mm-hmm. kind of your personal soul care stuff. What was pillar number two?
My second pillar was personal growth. So like I said, I have a one-year-old daughter and a wife. And so probably my favorite part of the sabbatical was just being able to be a dad and a husband. And I've told Shelby, my wife, for years that if she would just make enough money, I'd gladly be a stay-at-home dad. I said, I'll make dinner and clean the house every single day. You'll come home to a hot meal, you know. She won't go for it, though. She says, if I have to work, you have to work. So, but anyway, during the sabbatical, I got a little taste of that, you know, and it was great. Didn't always have the hot meal ready for her when she came home. But but it was good to have a lot of time. My daughter learned to walk literally the first week of the sabbatical. So that was the part I was most looking forward to about fatherhood was these, once they learn to walk in the young years when they're more fun and they're not too cool for dad yet, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was really exciting that I didn't have to go to work for a while after she learned to walk. And so we got to have a lot of play time and just being together. And then of course we took a few trips, which we can talk more about later, but Zoe, my daughter, came on one of those trips with us to Washington, D.C. So and she's got a cousin out there who's about the same age, so they got to play together, and that was a lot of fun. And I got to see my sister. And then my wife and I went on two different trips together, one just to Kansas City, got to go see Taylor Swift. And then we also went to LA and did all the Hollywood touristy things you can think of. But it was just good to be able to just spend time together. That was the first really more than like a single date night that we've been able to spend together without Zoe since she's been born. Which we love Zoe, but it's nice to have time, just the two of us too. So my favorite part of that was just being with family. I also got to visit some other family that I don't see as often and things like that. And then, of course, there's my book. If you want to talk about that.
Yeah, talk about your book.
Okay. So, long story short, in 2018, I started writing a trilogy of science fiction, fantasy type stories, novels. And I wrote the first book, finished it in a year. So end of 2019, I was done with the first draft. And then I started working on the second book, and then COVID happened, and I had what I like to call global pandemic induced writer's block for about a year and a half, where I basically didn't write anything. And then I finally in 2021 started writing again, but it was very slow, and I'd go through bursts where I'd write two or three chapters and then I wouldn't write again for a couple months or things like that. It was getting very frustrating and kind of weighing on me, just like knowing that like I finished that first book so quickly, but I have so much left to do, you know. But I'm glad to say during these 12 weeks of sabbatical, I finished the second book, at least the first draft of it, and then a few revisions, started a little bit working on the third and final entry. But I need to still have some work to do on the second book before I can really dive into the third one. But that was very exciting, because like I said, it had been weighing on me for a long time, just I don't know, it's like the lack of progress was just like, it's not for anyone but me. I mean, I do plan on publishing eventually, but it's not like anyone's like sitting around, you know, there's no publishers saying, when's this book coming out, you know, but I still felt it personally of like in my own soul of just like, why isn't this done yet? So mm-hmm. It was great to get that done. And so I, in addition to getting a taste of being a stay at home, father and trophy husband, I also got a little taste of being a full-time writer, which was really nice. I really enjoyed that life a little bit. I spent a lot of time just at the library just writing for hours, and it was great. So
I'm glad to hear you can write at the library.
Noise canceling headphones are okay. The savior there.
Okay, very good. Well, your third and final pillar is
professional growth.
And in this professional growth, what were some things you wanted to accomplish?
Well, like I said at the beginning here, like kind of my purpose, part of it was revitalization of inspiration and vision.
Yeah.
I get a lot of my best ideas from elsewhere, from going and visiting places and things like that. And in the last few years since COVID, I haven't really had an opportunity other than a couple of conferences to see what other people are doing. So besides what I can glean from online. The main aspect of the professional growth was visiting other churches. Like I said, I went to Washington, D.C. and L.A. I also took a solo trip to Dallas for a few days. And at all of those three cities, I visited two or three churches on the same Sunday. So so that was fun. But it was really good seeing. And I purposely kind of went to I was trying to find churches that were similar in size or scope to Schweitzer, but I also wanted to visit a couple that were very specifically not like Schweitzer, just to kind of see what that's like.
So what were, think about a couple or one or two that were like Schweitzer. What did you learn there? What'd you take away? What kind of ideas or did they spark within you?
I mean, there's a few very specific things, but it's hard to like, it's more of a vibe, like just the way things are going through. So, I mean, I took lots of notes about specifics and things they did at different churches. Some of it just comes down to like the language of how we talk about things and refer to things. There's a lot of, it's very easy to take notes on hospitality when you're visiting another church and how do they handle that? And so in some ways I got confirmation that Schweitzer's doing things really well. And then I have lots of little ideas about things in the tech world and how we can run things in terms of the visuals and even just like where people stand on stage and how they do things like that. And I've already in some ways implemented some of the things I picked up at other churches since I've been back. So.
Speaking of hospitality, have you, what was your experience? Like Schweitzer has a heck of a spread, like on Sunday morning. If you've never been to Schweitzer, you should just come for the breakfast and all this stuff, because there's coffee, there's hot tea, and then there's a whole host of, it begins with donut holes. I mean, people know the donut holes, but then there's a whole bunch of other things. What did you encounter in other places around hospitality?
So sort of a mixed bag. I don't think anybody had, nothing that I recall is just like Schweitzer is, where it's just out there and there's a lot and it's all free. There's a several or a couple of them that I visited that had like a cafe, but you had to pay, you know, like they, I think most places had coffee at the very least, but it might've just been like black coffee and there was creamer and sugar and things out there. Yeah, there's definitely two or three of them I can think of that had like a cool trendy cafe where you could buy whatever snacks, soda, breakfast foods, things like that. Which they were nice and they're cool, but I really appreciate that Schweitzer doesn't have that, doesn't charge like that. You know, I think that's, I'm not trying to put down the way other people do things, but I'm glad we do it the way we do it. There were some that just didn't have anything like that.
Yeah.
Like maybe coffee, but I don't even know if some of them had coffee. So.
Yeah, I noticed that too along the way, that a lot of churches, they either had nothing or coffee and maybe water, but mostly coffee. And then cafes where you could buy an assortment of things. Mm-hmm. But it was, and I think one of the, my girls really appreciated the ability to get like the Frappuccinos or the cappuccinos, right, with all the flavors and those kinds of things. So it's a fascinating thing to discover. What about the churches that were unlike Schweitzer that you visited? What was your experience there?
They were unlike Schweitzer in different ways. Like one I went to in LA was very high church, if you will, just very, the building was very old fashioned, but it was very beautiful, very tall ceilings and big stained glass windows. And they had a choir. I never saw a single microphone on the choir. There was, I mean, there was a podium mic for the speakers, but like the choir, but it was loud. Like it just echoed through the room in such a beautiful way and everything. That church in particular, their whole thing was music. They had throughout the service, like four or five different special music things that were different, like a choir. Then there was a singer with a guitar. There was marimba, which is, I've never seen a giant marimba wheeled out onto the platform at a high church, but it was really cool. So that was unique in that way. And then another church I went to was like a very progressive church. And so they had a lot of like LGBTQ language and things like that, that I'm not used to hearing. And so it was just interesting seeing how they did things that way. And then I went to like a house church that was basically just a really big, small group.
Yeah, visiting different churches gives you, which I mean, when you work at a church, you don't often get an opportunity to visit other people on when they're at worship and to see what other people are doing. The internet's made it so that you can like watch something in other places, but you don't get the full on experience. And it's a real blessing to be able to worship with others, to see what different kinds of expression of worship is happening, and to really get a sense even beyond that in terms of what we're doing, how God may be at work in the world. What did you take away? I mean, one of the things you mentioned earlier was that working in the church, it's hard to worship, and you've had those moments. What struck you about the worship that you were able to be a part of in this sabbatical season? Did the Lord have anything for you? Was there anything that was striking that stood out to you in the midst of that?
I guess I'll say in a way, the churches that were more like Schweitzer were actually the ones where I had a harder time, because I would default to like what I said, where I'm paying attention to how they're using the screens and how they're using the lights and do they have haze or not or things like that. And so the ones that were like Schweitzer were actually tricky to really, like my mind was running. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the flip side, the churches that were very not like Schweitzer, those were the moments where I was able to most just be a part of it. And
well, there's lots of different things that you can take away from worship. I think that's part of the reality, is that you come into a worship space, and we all come with a sense of expectations. Some of us, and sometimes those expectations include having an opportunity to meet with the Lord, and other times there's different expectations that we come with. And sometimes it's almost like a giant hairball. Like all those expectations are wrapped up together, and you bring those things. And then some of them are met, and then there's some surprises along the way. Is there any place you visit that you'd love to go back to?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, all of the churches I visited had pros and cons. So there's several that I would love to be able to visit again if the opportunity arose. If I were to actually go on another trip to DC, I would probably try to hit some churches that I didn't see. So it's mm-hmm. hard to say, but yeah. I will say one of the churches in DC specifically was probably I don't want to say they were the most like Schweitzer, but they're maybe the most like what Schweitzer could become or could be, or at least certain aspects of what could become. So I would be interested in at least learning more about how they do things, and I don't know, maybe I should call up their tech guy and have a chat.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. So you've been back at work. It's been about, 3 months now since the sabbatical ended? How has that sabbatical informed your work practices? Things that you were tasked with before, or things, responsibilities you carry. And then as you've entered back in, and how has sabbatical reshaped?
Yeah. So I have at least from my perspective, I have a long history of being kind of a workaholic, especially when I enjoy the work. So before I was married, before I had a kid, there was many, many nights where I was here until the alarms were about to turn on, so I had to leave the building because I lived alone and it's not like anyone was waiting for me at home. So I would just keep working until it was done, or I'd spend a lot of time kind of perfectionism bleeding in there, where it's like it was done and it was good already, but then I spent another 5 hours making it just that little bit better, which I think is great to do that, but not necessarily at the expense of your mental health and your your sleep and things like that. And so especially before I was married, I was really bad about that. Since getting married, I've gotten a lot better, but also, you know, with COVID and things like that, it suddenly became easier and more acceptable to work at home. So even though I might not be at the church until, you know, midnight, I might still be working until midnight or later at home on my laptop. And again, it's not that I'm not saying that it's bad to like strive for excellence. But there is a lot of times where it's almost like a cyclical, where you stay up late, or you work extra hard on this one project, and because you spent so much time perfecting that project, something else slips. Mm-hmm. And then when you have workaholic tendencies, sometimes the thing that slips is things to do with your family or your mm-hmm. personal life, and things that you shouldn't let slip, even like I was saying, like prayer and devotion. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the thing that slips. And so so I'd say coming back from sabbatical, it has been very busy the last 3 months, but I have been trying to be better about managing my time and separating those things, and continuing to have intentional time with my family, with God, and with myself. Mm-hmm. and just balancing that better, and hopefully not letting my work slip instead, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm not by any means saying I haven't let things slip, but I've been trying to really balance that really well. And I think it's been good.
Great. So as we get to this place where we're wrapping up, concluding this conversation, is there anything I haven't asked you about that you'd like to talk about, or is there anything you'd like to say as a, by way of conclusion?
Well, I highly recommend finding a job that will allow you to have a sabbatical. In our case, I had to work here at least 7 years first. So when they introduced that to our, as one of our work benefits, it was right when I'd been here 7 years or just over 7 years. And I was like, so I'm eligible. And then it still took me a year and a half or so before I actually took the sabbatical, but, it was on the horizon. I want to thank Mary Decker, who was, she rewrote our employee handbook around there, and she's the one that I guess introduced that to it. And so really thankful for her. I think she was, last week's episode. So if you're listening to these chronologically, you've heard all about Mary Decker. She's one of my favorite former coworkers. So thank you, Mary, for that. Yeah. And also thank you to the whole leadership team and to the people of Schweitzer for making something like this a possibility.
Indeed. Yeah, it's a real gift that is available to Schweitzer staff. And thank you to the church. Thank you to Schweitzer Church for making it possible. And then to our fellow coworkers, because many of our fellow coworkers picked up a lot of extra duties and other responsibilities. And so a big thank you to them as well.
Absolutely.
And we, both of us were able to go away. And I don't know that anyone called you at all throughout your time away.
There was one or two, but okay. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. And so stuff got handled. And then when we got back here, plans were in place and we just had to come back in and just begin to ride along with everyone else.
Yep.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us today on Really Cool People. Next week, we're going to have another normal interview. This has been a special edition. We'll have another normal interview with a really cool person. Not to say that Taylor's not, because Taylor is. He is definitely a very really cool person.
This episode is the Mildly Okay People podcast.
Okay. As he puts it. So thanks for tuning in. We encourage you, if you like this, if you'd like to share it with someone, to hit the like and subscribe and all the buttons that you can so that this podcast is something that may pop up in somebody else's feed. And we would encourage you, if you are looking for rest, if you need rest in the new year, think about, talk with people in your world about the prospect of a sabbatical. There's some really good books written about sabbaticals out there. One I would recommend is a book by Ruth Haley Barton. It's on the Sabbath. And the last section of that book is all about sabbaticals and the benefit that it can bring and provide to you, to your family, and to what God wants you to do, the responsibilities that God wants you to carry. But really, it comes back to the thought that we can rest in Him. And in that sense of resting in Him, there's a capacity that's built in for all the other things that He has for us. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you have a great Christmas season. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.